Courtside in the virtual hardwood, it's the NLC podcast, episode number 266. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known in the forum as Arcane.
Hey everyone, good to be back again.
Been a busy week, Ben. We've played some games, we've watched games, we've had some news about games. Plenty to talk about this week.
Yeah, which is always good for the podcast.
Certainly a lot better when we don't have to scramble for topics and try and figure out what we want to say on the podcast. We do have things to talk about. And the first item on the agenda today is patch number 1.14 for NBA Live 19. We talked about the need for a big patch, some gameplay updates, which were included in this update. And once again, Ben, they continue to push through, EA that is, updates for NBA Live 19 on a weekly basis. And this one is another big one.
Yeah, this is basically an 11.5 gig patch on PS4. Wasn't too sure on Xbox and that, but it's certainly I think the biggest patch that to date that I can remember at this point.
Yeah, I think other ones have been about the 5 to 7 gig range. Even going back to Live 18, I can't remember one quite this big. This one certainly has quite a bit of content in it. Several art updates, including player faces and the usual updates for the One Store, new gear, and also new commentary. 1,200 new samples of audio, they say. Various contents, updates to content and play-by-play, so they've adjusted a bit of both. I'm guessing content refresh is referring to players being in certain places, maybe something like that?
Yeah, I'd say so.
And also intensity tuning for more high-intensity moments in the audio. So I'm guessing that if you are in a tight game, that perhaps the commentary is a little bit more intense about that, a bit more up-to-date, because it's
captures the emotion of the
upbeat
moment.
Yes, captures the emotion. More emotional. That's probably the better way of saying it. because there has been some times with the commentary. I mean, we've talked about the commentary before, how we're not really fans of this year's commentary with the change, where you've kind of hit a game-winning shot or something, it's like, and the shot goes in, the game is won. And it's almost like old NBL commentary, actually. That's that bad. So NBL reference for this week. So they've done that. They've also improved the matchmaking is a big thing, and they've actually made the change so that lobbies get combined if you go public now. So it's supposedly a lot easier to get a game. You've played some live events and such over the past week since the patch has come out. Have you noticed that at all?
Generally, I've not had too much problem in the live events getting games. It's more the live run with like 3-on-3. Sometimes it could take a little while to get some games there. So
has it improved at all? Or
let me think. It seemed okay. I mean, I only played about three-on-three games in that. I think since the patch. So, hard to say. I'll look into it more during the week and let you know by next week if I've noticed any drastic improvement in that sort of sense. So yeah.
I'll jump on and have a look myself as well. I've mostly been playing court battles in Live 19 this week, so I haven't actually noticed any online matchmaking, but that's obviously a good move. I mean, that's always the way with matchmaking, the frustrating part, never getting a game. We've talked about how we don't really like the got next approach in the playground, in my part, in NBA 2K, and how and even this year with and obviously this is going into 2K a little bit here, but with Pro-Am and the Jordan Rec Center needing at least five players, the maximum five players each side to actually start a game, then you know it is much harder to get a game this year, and because you actually need it picks it by certain positions. So a lot of people create guards because they like to have the ball in their hands. They like to be shooters. So there's less people making bigs. So if you're a big man trying to get a game, then you get a game very easily. But if you're a guard, then when it's trying to matchmake and put it together, it's pretty hard to get one. So the point is, matchmaking obviously is such a big part of online gaming that if you can't even get into a game, it doesn't really matter the quality of the game or the lag or anything else. If you can't play, then you don't get to have any kind of experience, which is in itself not a fun experience, which we can tell you from experience. how many times in one sentence can I say the word experience? It's at least 3, 4, or 5 there. So that's a good change that they've made. We'll give further impressions as we try some more online gaming. Gameplay, they've tuned traits and balanced them a little bit. Online stability, they've looked to fix desync issues, which is, again, once you actually get into a game, very important for the online stability. Yep. And the big one is the passing animation selection logic, basically having better animations on passing so that there's less can turnovers, bad turnovers, things like that. And there does seem to be a bit of improvement there.
Yeah, I think I've noticed some improvement, especially just, you know, if you press the X button as opposed to, you know, having to constantly use the icon pass and all that stuff. So, but I want to obviously spend more time throughout the week sort of seeing and playing it more in the offline and online stuff just to get an idea if it's there or not, or if it's just sort of a, you know, a false reading in that sort of sense from my part. So, yeah.
Well, sometimes you hear about these things, you see it in the patch notes, you think, oh yes, it's better, because you it's almost like a placebo effect sometimes,
yeah.
that you're told that it's been updated and been fixed and better, and you think, oh well, yes it is. But yeah, as you say, sometimes you need a bit more time with the game. I thought I noticed a bit of improvement when I was playing the court battles earlier this afternoon, so hopefully for the best. I was hoping for more gameplay updates, especially when I saw the 11 gig patch. I suppose really the size of the patch is more about the content updates, but knowing that it was a big update, I was hoping for a little bit more. And I know we've talked before about how we don't want to see the game tuned badly and be back and forth, much like our problems that we had with NBA 2K17 a couple of years ago. And,
yep.
And even some other 2K games as well. And even Live 18 last year with some of the layups that they tuned and made them very unbalanced between the CPU and the user. We don't want to see anything like that, but I was hoping for a little bit more of a significant change, because most of the updates, if you look, are actually art updates, and they are things for live events, although they've also updated NBA courts and NBA uniforms. Unfortunately, the City Edition uniforms haven't been unlocked yet. They have been in 2K's latest roster, but not so in live. Hopefully that's done soon. They've also added new materials for some of the BAPE jerseys and the Mitchell and Ness jersey materials, and also fixed the kerning on number 11 jerseys.
Yeah. Also allowed for longer surnames on the back of the jerseys as well. So there's a bit of tweaking in that. Hairstyles.
All good updates, you know.
Yeah, you know, there's some hairstyle updates and things like that. And although the fixed appearance of hoodie drawstrings, I don't know, maybe that, you know, that can apply to shoelace, or the appearance of shoelaces
well. Shoelace physics, our old joke, yeah. But, you know, you look at that list and people see fixed appearance of hoodie drawstrings, and look, it probably didn't take them a great deal of effort. It was just probably something that was in the cards anyway, and just a minor fix for the art department. But I think people see that, and they'll see various updates and so like new canvas artist series courts. So more things for court battles and everything, which is cool and all. But again, you look at some of those items, and then you look at three things that were tuned in gameplay. Maybe there was more tuning, and they just haven't really noted the changes. But yeah. I think if they are making those adjustments, then they definitely need to list them so we can be aware of them. And yep. If they're not making any further adjustments, because people have certainly had feedback about gameplay adjustments, I think you really do need to, well, you know, make those adjustments, basically, because there's, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 items under art updates, 3 under gameplay, 3 under audio, and 2 under improved matchmaking. They're also doing some more things with live events. Live events are also going to have the court battle rules coming up. So that's, again, that's a really cool thing that they're adding new content there.
And they've also added a solo, so you can, you know, if you don't like playing with randoms and stuff like that, you can play a solo version of it.
You can go in with AI players. Again, I think that's really good, and might come back to this in when we talk about what we've been playing this week and such. I really do like that idea of being able to just go in with AI players, because sometimes you can't find teammates, even with the improved matchmaking and opening up lobbies is trying to make it easier, but sometimes you can't. But sometimes you don't want to, because as we've talked about on previous shows, the experience when you have random teammates is not always good.
You know, you can sort of feel iced out by the team, like all the guys you're playing with, and just sort of, yeah, someone wants to be that superstar, do it all, and it's like, okay, well, I'll just stand here. And sometimes I get frustrated with it. It's like, well, I'll just stand in the backcourt, and you guys can do all the work then, in that sort of sense. I'll just, yeah, whatever. I don't care if I level up as fast at this point. I'm a 95 at the moment with my creative player, so it's not like I've got too much further to go. So,
and I find it's tolerable if they're good. It's like, if they're scoring, if they're hogging the ball and actually you're winning the games, you at least get the hype, you at least get the RP for winning the games. I'm like, okay, they've won the game for me, basically. I've unlocked the gear or whatever. But when they're bad, when they're just driving into traffic and just putting up really bad shots and missing and it's costing you the game, pass the ball. It's play as a team, and that has been the problem. It's why we want to see more squad options, basically, in live, with live run and the live events and things like that. But to be able to go in solo, I think, is a really good idea. I'm glad they added that. So, obviously, significant additions there, and they've updated the rosters, they've fixed some jersey numbers, fixed added transactions, I should say, updated a lot of ratings. I've linked to the Reddit thread, which has got the movers and the shakers, the biggest changes to ratings. Aaron Gordon plus one, Lonzo Trier plus two. So quite a few players have gone up. Seti Osman has gone up four, and they've also got players who have gone down as well, and a few notes. But apart from that, there are also some head updates, some face updates in the latest one, but they're not listed, it seems.
Yeah, so it'd be a matter of going through every, both the WNBA and NBA players, and sort of having a look through. Hopefully we can sort of hit them up and find out, get an idea of which players and that they've some work on. One thing I'll note too, during the offline and online of the live events, when I was playing yesterday, it was against the Pistons, and you know, it had a few classic players and a few modern players and that. And I noticed the portrait for Bill Laimbeer was actually Ben Wallace. So that was a small little fumble there. But other than that, it was actually the solo one was, you know, a lot of fun. Played a couple of games of that, and first one was like 22-0, and then I think 20 again, probably again around 22-2 or 4 in that one. So yeah, that was fun in terms of like just sort of if you just want to like screw around and just have a laid back game where you just sort of go for the steal and try and get some fast break points and stuff like that.
Sure. Again, I think it's a great idea that they've done that. I wish there was more AI options for online for 2K, as I mentioned last week. I want to come back to that again this week as well after some comments that were made online. But I think it's a fine update overall. It's substantial. Playing the game, I don't think they've made any tuning that has made it worse at all, which is always, with any patch, you want to make sure that it moves forward and not backwards, or a lateral movement at the very least. But I guess, as we've said last week, and not to harp on it week after week, because they are looking like they're going to be weekly patches, but I would like to see a little something a little more. I'd like to see those gameplay notes. I'd like to see them at least around about the same size as the art updates, because I think there are still things that can be done with the gameplay that need to be done and probably can be done. So I would like to see some more substantial updates. And I know it's only November, and probably they'll continue to add a lot of things. I'm guessing till maybe January, February. Certainly they'll be adding content through the year, but as far as the big changes to the game, I think there are some that they can make. We've been collecting feedback in the forum, which you can join in on, because I do want to be sending that along ASAP. So I think they need to be doing a little bit more with the update still, and I hope they can still put a bit more in. They have done some gameplay changes, some content changes, some mode changes here, but still a little bit more they could do.
Yeah, well, yesterday, I think it was, I saw a tweet from Donnie, who's the community manager, he replied to, from memory, it was a SportsCenter tweet in regards to that sort of, I suppose you could probably call it like a trick dribbler slash layup guy. Jesse, I think, I can't remember his last name at the moment, but I know he's done some mocap and stuff with some of the other sort of content creators and that over the last 2 months or something. And the tweet from SportsCenter was basically, need this in a video game soon. I'll need this in a video game ASAP or something like that. And it's one of his dribbling moves and does like a fancy layup. And Donnie replies, coming soon to NBA Live 19. So I think there is that potential for a really big gameplay update, you know, where it would probably include like a lot of new animations. It was also, again, sort of relating into this, you know, some of these content creators had posted some of the mocap stuff that they have done. And again, indicating that it is coming to NBA Live 19 and that. So it sounds like they're just still working on animations and probably like the branching out stuff of it and all that stuff. So I'm hoping potentially around Christmas time, or again, maybe just in January, when this really big one with hopefully all these, you know, potentially new animations and all that stuff come out.
And that will be cool. I mean, the animation system they have with Ignite, I think there's still going to be some limitations there. Live 19 is probably the best it's ever felt for the most part, but there's still some funkiness there with some of the animations, especially in the paint, I feel. So I don't know whether they're going to be able to clean that up too much. They don't really have anything that's outdated. I think they've gotten rid of a lot of the outdated animations at this point, but anything that they can replace moving forward would obviously be really good. But I also want to see some tuning, again, the inside shooting percentages, the impact of challenging shots, especially by the CPU, because there still feels a little bit of balance there that's missing, and also that explosive first step isn't always there with dribbling. I think they need to really fix that. I don't know how much they can fix with patches versus, again, what they can do with the engine, whether going to the Frostbite in the long term, especially with the extra, with the additional studio working on it from moving forward. This could be NBA Live 20 stuff, and certainly the mode stuff is going to be NBA Live 20. But I do want to see a little bit more. I'm hoping that that we can see some of the adjustments that we'll be passing along ourselves, and because I know I've seen other people on Twitter and on Reddit talking about that as well. So I do want to see patches with notes that have a little bit more than just the content. And I certainly think they should also be doing. They need to get the City Edition uniforms into the game as quickly as possible. I know that teams have been staggering their unveiling of that, but 2K has already got, I think, at least most of them in the game, most of the ones that have been revealed anyway. So I think Live needs to be a little bit more on top of that as well. And again, it comes back to what we've said, is the NBA side of things needs to be there. You know, it is NBA Live after all, not NBA Live Street or Street Live or anything like that. So it's imperative that they keep you know, on top of those updates as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think that should be a big focus now for more the rest of the year in that sense. You know, you've got the hook element working, but yeah, the key focus now is tune and bring the content stuff for the main modes and all that stuff, which is the NBA side of things. So yeah,
because if you've got people hitting icon status across the board and it's already November, you don't have the deep franchise and Ultimate Team still is a bit lacking as well, what's going to keep people hooked for 12 months?
Yep.
You know, you can't just be clothes. You know, it's got to be something more. This is not a Barbie game, some might say. some jerks might say. Anyway, so we've said it before, and I guess we'll probably continue to harp on it to some extent moving forward, but it's what we want to see, and I think a lot of people, judging by comments that we've had on recent shows and feedback, we're definitely not alone, Ben, in our opinion that and our want for more NBA content and more focus on NBA content moving forward.
Yeah, I agree, and it's good to see that you know there are people vocal about it, and hopefully it does come.
So moving on to some other news that affects basketball gaming. It's not about a particular basketball game as such, but it certainly does affect our community. It seems that Sony is patenting some technology to discover lag switching and prevent lag switching, which is definitely good news because, as Agent 00 has been showing on many of his videos, people have been using that technology, or that trick, I should say, to cheat in NBA 2K Online.
Yeah, you know, it's been a big issue over probably the last 2 years and stuff like that, in particular, like, when it's become a little bit more rampant. So, you know, if the company is able to, what looks to be in the patents, they've found a way to recognize when it's been done, and a potential method of stopping it. So that's a positive step going forward. Whether it, you know, it's going to be an update in the system for PS4, or most likely it would be something, I'm guessing, for the PS5 era, which is, you know, say about 2 years away.
They've talked 2020, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's coming out next year. I think early.
Too early, based on previous generations and how much life they've got, and the fact that they've pushed through both consoles have pushed through the special edition, the advanced edition, what, the Xbox One X and the
PS4 Pro,
PS4 Pro. So, and look, yeah, absolutely good news that they're looking to do this. It's, I mean, online cheating, it's the same as the kid who flips the board in Monopoly or steals money from the bank in Monopoly, you know, playing a board game, or the jerk who is waving their hand in front of their face, or, you know, putting the foot up and trying to distract you when when we played on couches together, when that was a thing, to an even greater extreme. And it's something that I imagine they have to be very careful about, because when it comes down to server lag, I mean, we've had issues. Well, who knows whether some of the lag issues we've had, the really bad laggy games we've had in 2K, may have been some people using lag switches. We don't know. We didn't really look into it.
That's actually something I've sort of been thinking about for a few months, you know. And,
yeah, since watching Agent's video, I've wondered.
Yeah, especially when it'd be that sort of stuttering and, you know, connection loss, and you get that, like, 15 or 16 second timer. And it's like, I was just sort of thinking.
Well, without wanting to pile on 2K too much, because sometimes I feel we do a little bit, we need to get a little bit too critical to the point where people may think we're hating, but I feel we're just being honest. 2K servers do have a reputation, can we say, so it is hard to say. And we've come to find that we're playing on servers that are located in Japan. That's where the Australasian servers are, basically, as 2K19 has demonstrated. So between that and Australian internet connection, of course, sometimes we've ended up playing on US servers when we've been playing with ZZ and he's readied up first.
Yep.
And things like that. So it could be the servers as well. But as you say, there's been times when it's been waiting for connection. It's really taken a while. We've almost got kicked. And then it just, there's been so much lag. And of course, they've gone ahead and scored. You do wonder whether some people are actually, whether we've run into that. Because obviously it is happening. Agent 00 has exposed it, basically. So, and it, It's funny because 2K has exploits already. I mean, you've got pay to win for a start. Yep. We can pay for VC and you can level up. And if you grind the badges and buy VC to get the ratings up quickly, you can win that way.
And then the boosts.
You got boosts. You've got archetypes that are very OP. Like, a lot of the sharpshooting builds are very OP online, of course. And you've got...
gameplay flaws like the from last year, which, like, the snatchbacks and blow bias.
Absolutely. So you've got ways to, if you want to win, you can just game the game, game the system with techniques that are cheap, but not technically cheating as such. It's more taking advantage of
flaws
in the game, if nothing else, and design flaws and whatnot. So if you're also using lag switching on top of that, I think it's low. You know, call me old-fashioned. I think everyone should be sporting when it comes to this.
In all honesty, it's like, how shit do you have to be to cheat much?
Do you really have to go to that extent when there are perfectly good ways of cheating or exploiting the game as is? But it's another matter, I suppose. I'm glad they're looking into it. I do think there's something they're going to have to be careful with, because obviously you don't want to ban people who have just fallen victim to a server issue or an issue with their connection. So obviously this has been something that they're naturally aware of. Microsoft probably is too. And Sony must be figuring out some way of doing it. And yeah, it will be interesting to see if they can add it on the current generation, or if you say it's a next-gen thing in 2020, 2021, or whatever. The sooner that this can be stamped out, the better. I mean, especially with games going so much the online route, the 2K League and everything like that, and how much 2K pushes the online component, and live too, obviously. You just need it, because it's not fair, it's not sporting, and it's... I mean, frankly, if you're doing it, it shows... You know, you can't call yourself a great gamer, so you can say we're butthurt, say we're whining, say we're crying, but no, it's call out. You know, cheating is not a sign of it's not admirable. It's not a sign of skill or talent or anything if you have to cheat. So yeah, and if this is effective, then great. And if it's Sony doing it, that helps us, because that's the platform we're on, I suppose. So
yeah,
so much the better. I hope they can do it. I hope Microsoft can do something similar. I hope there can be more done on PC as well, because obviously hacking and cheating on PC is even easier, not being a closed platform like PS4 and Xbox One. Yeah, and I have no sympathy for people who get caught out cheating and get banned, because those are the terms of service, and they say, oh, I bought the game, I can play it how I like it. No, that's not how it goes online. And the people who don't like what you're doing, they bought the game too, so that's not a good argument at all, basically. So it does remain to be seen how it works, what it does, but yeah, I'm all for it, Ben.
Yeah, I'm the same. When I saw it, I was like, immediate was thought was great. This will help improve, you know, the will help minimize, you know, some form of cheating in some of these games, and particularly like NBA 2K, and that, given we know that, you know, it is pretty rampant. You know, also probably games like Rainbow Six, Fortnite, and things like that as well. So yeah, it'll have a benefit in the long run in terms of things. And yeah, fingers crossed it does work, and you know, and it doesn't, you know, affect everyone who has a legitimately poor connection kind of thing. So, you know, I expect, you know, if it does come out, when it does, you know, there'll probably be a couple of months of sort of fine tuning, you know, making sure, you know, real world tests and all that stuff to make sure. And, you know, there might be a few people who might be innocent of just a genuine poor connection, but, you know, as long as they get the due process of, you know, being able to prove or, you know, state their case, and in a lot of sense, that, you know, it's just that they're not trying to cheat, you know, that their accounts and that will get reinstated. So yeah,
and looking at what they've written here, identifying that a cheat detection event has occurred when additional latency identified from evaluating the set of data packets meets a predefined threshold. So basically, I think they're working out the usual kind of lag, the additional lag that happens with that. So it's probably pretty standard. So I'm guessing they've got some pretty good data there to work from, but false positives are inevitable, I guess, especially with, again, and not to pile on 2K, but their servers do have a reputation. I mean, people are always tweeting at Ronnie, fix your servers. So it's not just us hating. Settle down there. They do have to be very careful that it's not just that or a connection error, because, of course, Australian internet, you know, for our example, is not the best. And even if you are on NBN, it's still, we are behind other developed nations in that regard. So you do have to be careful, but it does sound like they've got some pretty good data to work from.
Yeah, which is good. I had a good case yesterday, actually, when I was trying to play online. Like, I couldn't actually connect to the EA servers. And then I even tried playing a few games of Fortnite, and it was stuttering bad. But turns out there was a storm on the way, and even though, and that can sometimes play havoc with ADSL2 and all that stuff. So, although I admit my PS4 is actually plugged in via LAN and all that stuff, so network connection and all that stuff. But yeah, it sometimes does play a little bit of havoc during storms and that, where it doesn't work to its full potential. So, you know, that could be another thing for them to consider, like, you know, to take it, or as a factor of, you know, poor connection elements in that sort of condition and all that stuff. So yeah, but hopefully hopefully the stuff does work out and it does eliminate that form of cheating in gaming.
Absolutely, and we'll certainly keep our eye out for any further developments, but in the meantime, it's good to know they're working on it, and it's, yeah, so it's not just something that we're going to have to put up with, and hopefully people like Agent can continue to expose people who are using those techniques, because they are obviously effective.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's about all the news we have. This week we're going to bring back a section that we haven't done for a while, and it is our week in basketball gaming.
It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
Good to get back to a familiar segment, Ben.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks, obviously, so yeah.
We've been mixing up the format a little bit these past few weeks since we've gone back on the air, and thought we'd bring back the topic this week, the segment I should say, because we do have some things to talk about, what we've been playing. Last few weeks have kind of been putting it into other segments as well, but we thought we'd do a separate segment this week. Incidentally, if people want to join in playing what we've been playing, which is Live 19, the both of us, and 2K19, myself, there's actually some Black Friday sales on at the moment, Ben. Just looking over on OS, has mentioned that NBA Live 19 from the 16th through to the 27th on PS4, and from the 15th through the 26th on the Xbox Live store, there's up to 60% off on NBA Live 19.
Cool, that's a really good discount.
So that just mentions America. I'm guessing it's probably going to be international as well. Certainly, they usually do have sales going, but certainly if you are in North America, you can get up to 60% off on both consoles, and I believe they're doing the same. NBA 2K19 has been doing the same thing. Well, they've got a sale that's either upcoming or...
Yeah, the Black Friday sales now on PSN. The standard edition is, in terms of Australian, it'd probably be very similar in terms of US. Sometimes there can be like a 10% difference. Yeah, it's 50% off in Australia, so instead of it being $100, it's $50 at the moment for standard, and then it's about $77 for the... special edition, which is from about 48% off. So yeah, there's some good times to still snap up one of the games and that. So,
and actually, NBA 2K19 has also been free to play this weekend on Xbox Live Gold members. And during the time, members can also... It's probably going to be over by the time a lot of people hear about this, but just in case you get it in time, members can keep their progress by purchasing the game at a 50% discount. So, yeah, that basically for over the next couple of weeks, a good time if you didn't pick them up at launch to get the games.
Yeah. There might be also some discounts on VC as well, going through the list. It doesn't say how much on the PSN store at this point, but yeah, all of them seems to be listed as sale items on the PlayStation blog about the sales, and yeah, the 20th anniversary edition is $77.95 on Australian PSN, reduced from $100, $150, so 48% off.
Up to 50% off, so some good deals going at the moment.
Out of curiosity, because as you know, I was looking at potentially getting the game. Would you say it's worth getting the 20th anniversary edition?
I think, looking at it now, I kind of wish I did.
Yeah.
Simply because of the VC and the Head Start it gets you. I mean, and I'll talk a little bit about it more when we get to it here in this segment of the podcast. But it is a pretty long grind, even though they have upped the VC that you earn. They've also upped the upgrade prices as well, and it's items in the neighborhood aren't that much cheaper this year either. In fact, they're pretty much the same, if not more expensive. So there is definitely a lot of grinding, which is fine offline. If you're playing offline, you can turn the difficulty down and just grind for badges and everything, which is basically what I've been doing.
Yep.
But certainly for playing online, which we obviously have an interest in doing, you are at a disadvantage if you're playing at a 60-something overall, like I have been doing. I like to think that I play a little bit better than the rating indicates, but yep. certainly things like, because you start out with such low ratings as across the board, including your athletic ratings and speed, yep. etc., it's harder to keep pace with opponents online. If you can knock down open shots and everything okay, you can make passes and everything fine, but defensively, because you don't have the speed and whatnot, that's where it is. So if you can get a discount on the 20th anniversary edition and get that extra VC, certainly if you're looking to play online, I think it would be worth it, because yep. it's just going to save you that money from having to buy VC, and it's going to save you some grind. I'm still not wanting to buy any VC if I can avoid it. I've been doing okay so far. Again, I'll go into more detail a little bit later on as we're talking about our experiences. But if you're happy with the price, I think the extra VC is definitely worth it, because you can just dump that straight into your career. And if I'm playing through the Prelude, you also get a decent amount of VC as well. So that plus the pre-order VC from the 20th Anniversary Edition should give yep. you a pretty good head start. I do kind of regret not getting that for okay. that aspect. But at the time, yeah, I was happy not to spend the money, but yeah, I sort of paying for it now. If that's not too much of an ironic thing to say, because I have not actually paid any for VC yet, but one way or the other, you pay, basically. Time or the extra money or the VC pack. So, yeah, it's worth considering if you're interested in getting the game, for all sure.
Right. Well, what I might do is I'll jump online after the podcast, and I'll see how much whether it's better value getting the normal edition and then one of the VC packs if they are discounted, and you know, mm-hmm. seeing if it outweighs that.
I didn't check, because the standard one's like about $30 for 75,000 VC, and I know that it costs you won't even max out with the extra VC, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think. But you'll come fairly close. You'll certainly be you'll leapfrog me very quickly, basically, if you do that.
Okay.
So yeah. that is worth doing. I suppose I might as well mention what I've been doing with 2K. I have been avoiding, as I said, trying to pay any. I have paid in the last couple of years to get that head start, and probably regretted it last year because the archetype was broken and the game just wasn't as fun. 2K17, I did not regret it because I had such a fun time with it, and it probably because I was able to get such a head start as well. But the one thing they really have improved this year is the badges, the grinding for badges. I've actually only got 2 skill badges left to unlock at yep. this point. I've played 20 games in my career, and I've played a handful of Playground and Jordan Rec Center games with the guys, with our NLSC crew. So I've played a fair bit, but not a ridiculous amount.
Yep.
And I've got myself to 67 overall, which is a long way to go, and there's still a lot of things to unlock, but I'm at a point where I'm pretty competent in the game and yep. worked out my jump shots, so I'm knocking down shots, know how to use my player. So it's really just that online element where because you don't have the speed, the lateral quickness and things to really keep track with people who are already 90 overall because they've got really fast players. But offline, it's been fun. It's been fine. I've actually really enjoyed it. It's funny because I was so burned out of my career and ready to take a break, and I do have my league going, but I have been playing it basically to grind the player up a little bit so that I can play online with the guys when I want to. I do want to get to 70 plus overall fairly soon because it'll be a little bit more of a competent player, but the badges, been able to grind that really easily. They've done a really good job of that this year for the most part. The only thing that's really frustrating is the same approach to free throw shooting with the free throw waste badge that we yep. had last year. Same issue with my players, that it seems that like I'll take 2 shots with the current rating of 75 that the badge has, that it's gone to ratings rather than chances this year. But I'll miss 2 in a row with a rating of 75 and a decent release.
Yep.
And it's like, that probably shouldn't happen as often as it does. It seems to be a my player issue more than a regular player's, because regular players still have individual proper ratings, not just the badge-related rating. So that is still a problem in that regard. But everything else, the most frustrating thing is sometimes the teammate AI screws you over in the drills, because, say, you need to get them to score the basket to actually complete the drill properly. and you'll complete the pass and everything, but then they'll just hold the ball and the timer runs out or something like that. So there are issues like that, but apart from that, the progress has been pretty good. Enjoying it so much more than last year, so I don't know how much I'll play, but basically enough to get my player up and running. What I have been doing is anything I can do to get VC, Ben, I've been trying the daily wheel spin, the daily spin, yep. Going for VC there. It's funny because I get VC on the, because I'm currently doing it on both PC and
PS4.
Mostly, I mean, just playing PS4, but I've got the PC one. I haven't played any games in my career yet. Basically, just finished the prelude and just sort of got the second one there if I want to test the archive out or whatever. But I'll do the daily spin there, and I've got VC on PC. And I'm like, oh, this is useless because this isn't the player I want to grind up. So, but I'll be doing that, doing the daily pick'em, the result, picking the results for the games. I haven't really done anything with the companion app yet because I just can't stand that card game at all. Just so sick of that. But shooting and doing the tricks in my court, it seems like every 24 hours they reset and you can get a few more VC from it.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's strange. Sometimes it works and gives you the extra ones you've already done. Sometimes it doesn't. I'm still trying to figure out what exactly is happening there. So doing that, I watched the latest episode of 2KTV is the interactive special. So basically everything is just questions for VC and gear. I've got the 2KTV, hey guys, sleeves. It's got hey guys written on the sleeves. So I've got them. I've got the 2KTV cap on backwards, of course, 90s style, and the shirts. So I unlocked a bunch of stuff from that and got a bit of extra VC. Basically anything that I can do to get VC at the moment without paying for it, I've been trying to do. Something that people have mentioned, just playing the 5-minute quarters so it's over and done with quicker and you get the VC.
Yeah.
The mistake I made when I did this player was that when I was negotiating my rookie contract, fortunately it's just a year, but I went for less VC and more and double my points.
Yep.
So that I can get the cap breakers quicker, but I should have had more VC because that's I was told at the start to do that. I saw advice to do that, but I negotiated the VC a little bit too low. So what I'm thinking is creating I don't really want to play in 5-minute quarters because I like to get my numbers.
Yeah,
it feels like it's not enough experience to get. So I am thinking of possibly creating a second player and just experimenting with a different archetype and getting a different salary and using that salary to pay for this player's upgrades, the main player's upgrades. Basically having a couple of careers going and not really caring about the second one at all, stats or anything, just playing the games and quick games and doing it. No cheats, no exploiting, nothing like that. Just basically grinding two at a time and just funneling it all into one. Any tricks I can do basically to get it, and just so that I have a player that's viable for online, basically.
Yep.
Because apart from that, I'm ready to play my league because my career, I'm now ahead of the NBA season, so I'm on track with that. I want to get into the my league that I started, but yeah, playing that, and I tried to jump in with some randoms on the playground, but when you're only 60 something overall, they don't really want to play with you. And because they don't know that you might play better than the rating, and that's one of the problems with actually showing the badge with the rating to everyone else, is because people say, oh, well, you're only an 82, or you're an 85, or you're 70-something. And it may not really indicate your skill, but everyone's obsessed with overalls, and it shows.
That's kind of disappointing, but yeah, I can understand why in part, but yeah, it's.
Well, at the same time, then I don't necessarily want to play with randoms either. It was just an idea I had after a lot of grinding the other night to jump up for a bit more. I was getting a bit sick of my career games, played about 4 or 5 in a row, and finally got a triple double. After I was almost got a triple double along with 22 points and 21 assists, and bloody Højbjerg pulled me with 8 minutes left in the game and didn't put me back in. And I needed one more rebound to get the triple-double, but then I got it the next game. So. And best of all, I'm actually throwing down a few dunks this year, despite having the same archetype. So, again, so much better than last year. It's still some problems, but it is worth getting, I think. And if you can get it on sale, it would be fun to have the whole crew again, basically.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things, you know, I miss playing with you guys online. So, and yeah, given that it's fairly decent sale at the moment, it's like, do I bite the bullet? So now I have to also Renew my PS Plus as well, so
yeah.
And that's got 20% off at the moment, so it's like, all right, so do I buy it now or do I just buy it when I get back? And that's from Victoria and that, so yeah.
Well, that's right, you're going to be out of away from gaming for a little bit anyway, so
yeah,
that's going to be tough.
So yeah, it's like, you know, if I only buy it on the PS Plus, you know, I'll get more than just one game, you know, because I'll be getting obviously a couple of games for each month in that sort of sense. So
that's right.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, so I'll decide over the next few days, so, and before obviously the sale ends and that. So yeah.
That's been my adventures of my career badge and VC grinding. It's going okay, but it is a slow process. So I do, as I said, I miss not having that big chunk of VC to start off with. 5,000 really doesn't cut it. I figured it wouldn't, to be honest, even before we, even as I was playing the prelude, I had an idea how that was going to go. You as I said, as you said, you're going to Victoria soon, so you will be away from the PS4, kind of getting some gaming in the meantime. You've been playing some court battles.
Yeah. I decided to take on some of the LSC players and other people I know online and that, so I've been trying to steal their courts.
Looks like so you got my court at one point.
I've gotten it twice.
Yeah.
So
I went to get it back. I went to launch the counterattack today,
yep.
But someone else has got your court, so I couldn't do it.
Oh, okay.
So when someone else comes in and swoops it, then
yep.
I've got to wait for that to end to actually get back and actually take that on, yeah.
Okay, so that's how it all went. All right. Because, yeah, I know I did... Because I... Like, the last game I played against you, or your team, and that, I bumped up the difficulty level in that, because I just wanted to sort of see the change in that. And I then went against X's team, but I forgot to change my roster to more of a, or my lineup to a shooting team, because X's team is pretty much tough, because it's basically a 3-point shooting team in a lot of ways. And I bumped up the difficulty. I think I bumped it up to its hardest against him, and he had 3-point shooters, and like when Winslow's like 3 or 4 from 3-point line. Who else there was?
He's got a WNBA player as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, Taurasi, I think it is.
Yeah,
she was like 4 or 5 or something from 3. So I'm like,
she hit a buzzer beater a bit to beat me by 1.
Yeah,
so I was like, jaw dropped. It was just not coming.
Yeah.
So he gets to launch a counterattack against me now.
Yes,
so lost against him. First court battle I've lost, actually, I think, against him. Yeah, certainly against a friend's court, yeah. But I have reached level 5 now, so I've got the Bulls logo and ball
nice.
To do. So I've got a new court with that branding. And, yeah, I've also got the level 5 pack, so I've got a bunch of new players. So I've actually upgraded my team again now, made them a bit tougher.
Nice.
But, yeah, I haven't changed my rules yet. What rules have I got again?
I think yours is... Dunks are 4, layups are 3.
Oh, I've gone with that one, have I?
I think so. I think from memory,
well, that'll suit the roster I've got now. That'll work, probably.
I did save the video of, I think, the 2 games that I played against your team recently, so I might upload those. But yeah, I did find X's team hard. I did lose to Kenny, and again, that was putting... I think I put it on the difficulty hardest. I think... X's one, I think I put up too hard. And then the most difficult one, I think I put up to Kenny's team. And yeah, I just had off game that one. I know that.
Kenny's got a decent team as well.
Yeah. I've got a pretty decent team at the moment. But yeah, the main lineup that I have is more attacking, sort of slashing and stuff, and shot blocking and that. So. Yeah, I think that's why I struggled against X's team in particular.
Yeah, because the threes really hurt there when he's got the good shooting.
Yeah.
Have you played the skins to 21? Where there's a pot where basically every shot that misses adds points to the pot, and the next basket gets.
Yeah,
so, yeah, that's an interesting one. That one.
That's a fun one. I haven't lost in one of those ones yet. I've played about three or four of those. I think the biggest pot that I had was seven. Like,
that was
good. So I was very happy when I got that.
I think four or five is the biggest, but it's seven. Yeah, that's a game changer.
Yeah, I have to double. I don't know if I saved that one, like the clip of that, but I think from memory it was seven. I've definitely had four or five. And that is a momentum changer right there. Who else did I took on? I took on you, Kenny, Mario. Oh, no, I haven't taken on Mario yet because he's got a pretty good team at this point. And I just wanted.
I did the same. I avoided him for the moment until I upgraded the team.
And I think Q has a good team as well. And I think I've taken on ZZ. I got
ZZ, yeah. Q I haven't taken on. He's gotten me nine times.
Yeah, I think someone's got me five times.
Mind you, this was before he got me nine times before I was even playing court battles. So
yeah, I think that's in a similar case with me. I think a couple of times he may have got me when I was started playing, but I didn't realize to play against him because I didn't do the friends thing until just the other day. Who else is there? I think I've taken AJ's court a couple of times.
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah. Got Corey.
Yeah, taking his court a couple of times now. Who else was there? I think there was another person that I know as well. Arthur Lee. I don't know if he's an LSE member or anything like that. But yeah. That was sort of my sort of goal for the week, was just to sort of play around and sort of see how many courts I could take, try different difficulties and all that stuff. But yeah, it's just. Remembering that, yeah, definitely have a three-point squad against X. That's for sure. If you play against them.
Next time I'm going to try that. I know the as we're recording this, the campaign is coming to an end, and I'm going to get the tier three. I got the 10 wins, so the ten courts owned. So
I haven't done the 10 yet. I've sort of been wanting to, but I generally you play the five, get the five wins, and then I'll play a different mode, just so it's not too repetitive, but I should try the 10 because I've maxed out all of the twos and I've nearly maxed out the fives. So, but yeah, I do want to see what you can get reward wise for 10.
Yeah, I'm waiting to, as I said, for the campaign to end. I'll have to jump on and see what the crate is. But yeah, once you reach the 10, you get a guarantee. It's guaranteed that you get it, even if you end up losing the course. Once you hit the tier three, you get that. So that'll be interesting to see what I get. The other thing that I noticed is that you get a... I mean, you're at 95, so I'm guessing not as much. I'm up to 78 now, which is... I mean, you start at 72, 73, so it's not hugely upgraded. But, I mean, that's what I love about Live's starting ratings, is that you can jump online and be competitive.
Yeah,
You don't have to really grind up. And, of course, there's no pay to win either. But I ended up playing all those games... How many... I got 8 skill points. Over the course of playing for an hour and a half or so.
Nice.
So that's good. Able to put a lot of stuff in there and get the boost. Again, I love the progression system, how you're going along the different ratings, and sometimes it goes up one or two. And you get you'll unlock an animation or shoes or an extra trade or something like that.
You get a boost in accuracy
or something like that. I think it's a really good way of doing it. Sometimes I miss not being able to have the flexibility of 2K's putting in every rating, but at the same time, doing it that way. I think 2K was better with the bucket system.
Yeah.
2K17.
And
Live has kind of gone a similar way with the way they've done it. But having those ratings and being able to choose on the icon path, I was able to upgrade my three-point shooting.
Yep.
Either the inside shooting or outside shooting on this floor general path for point guards. So I went with the three-point shooting this time because of a very low three-point shooting. I've been able to finish inside, but the three-point has been low. So, I think they've done a really good job with it. I hope they stick with something like this moving forward because, again, it's just one of those concepts that Live, for whatever Live needs to do to get better, and obviously there is room for improvement, they've just got so many good ideas like the progression system.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to get to be playing it for, how many games did I play? About 7 games, and to get 8 skill points at that time. Admittedly, I'm still in the 70s, with you being already in the 90s, probably not as much, but
I think it takes can take about 4 live event games to get the next attribute or upgrade and stuff like that.
It depends on performance too and things like that.
Yeah,
but
I think about maybe 2 NBA games where you're playing, you know, a minimum of 8 minutes or so, I think, in that case, and maybe, you know, a quick live event game, you know, something like that, maybe to get the next upgrade. So, yeah.
I saw on Twitter someone said 99.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, there is somebody has already hit 99 in 2K, and I applaud that and wonder if they have actually also got the 20th anniversary edition, because, man, that's a lot of grinding. But, I just love that you can upgrade so quickly, and for a start, that you've got starting ratings that don't make you absolutely useless for a start, but then upgrading it is not painful, and you've got all these extra things that you can get along the way. It's just such a good idea.
Yeah, I loved the fact too that compared to last year, where it only kept at 100 in terms of, you know, when you're playing a game, where you could actually go past 100, you can get like 400, 500,
yeah,
in that sort of sense, and that helps boost up even further. I've had like a couple of 400 plus, you know, in terms of your rating during the games and that, which has been really good. That definitely helps boost the upgrades a lot faster. So that's one improvement I'm really thankful for and appreciating in this game this year. I've got my 3 traits are all gold badge now, so that definitely helps.
Very nice.
I've just got a manly upgrade, I think my mid-range, and then I think just the final one will be where it was, because it was requiring 3 skill upgrades, and that was the final dunk package one, which I think I may have done now, which is like street dunks and stuff like that.
Yep.
I think I did it, though. I have to double check, because I think I have unlocked that one. It's mainly the mid-range shots and maybe like 1 steal, 1 block, 1 defensive, one as well, and I think I've fully maxed out what I can do with that player.
Nah, it's just really good. I'm probably only going to have the 1 player, but it's pretty. I just love what they've done with it, because it's, and again, contrasting it with what 2K has done.
Yeah.
Again, I am enjoying 2K19 this year, but seeing the way you have to grind up from this, and the fact that you're immediately viable online. That's what I think the big difference is. Because offline, you can always turn the difficulty down and just have that experience and then bump it up as your player gets better.
Yep.
But online, you're really stuck with it. And
Actually,
speaking of creating a player, you remember, I might remember that I said with Live 16, I missed out on a trophy for creating a player?
Yeah.
I actually reinstalled Live 16 from the disc. I got the digital version back in the day, or I got a code from, I think AJ probably gave me a code for it, actually. He would have. And so, but I also bought a disc version. I got it off, I had a disc version as well that I decided to keep myself so I could have a physical collectible as part of the collection. And I cleared off the hard drive a few weeks back because I had to install 2K17 to get some screenshots for an article. And then I had to reinstall 14, 15, 16, so I had them on hand. And then I was firing them all up this week to do the Wayback Wednesday on Ultimate Team.
Yep.
And I was going through and just doing the retrospective and making sure I was getting all the details right about what went into which game and et cetera with Ultimate Team. And I reinstalled 16. I did it off the disc this time. So then I fired it up, and it wanted me to create my player again. So I thought, oh, great, I've lost the progress on that. Have I lost progress on everything? Whatever. I created the player as I did again. My face data is still there. Nice. So the face data is still on the server for me to download, so it's I was able to do that, because obviously the app only works for Live 19 now, but the face data was still there, so I did that. Not a bad face scan, that one, but it's still a little bit yellow, because I didn't do that in great lighting. Live 19 is my best scan so far, I think. But I created the player, and I got the trophy.
Nice.
Because I've tried firing up the game again and creating a second player to get it, but for whatever reason, whatever glitch happened that I didn't get it when I went from the demo to the digital version back in the day, so I've actually finally got that trophy. So that's nice.
Nice.
So,
that's good.
Just for the completionist in me, that was
the
cool.
OCD and stuff, yeah.
But it is funny that the servers are still up for those games, 14, 15, 16, and 18, of course, 18 not being that old, but... even 14, if you want to go and play some Ultimate Team in Live 14, you can, because it's still up. Or even the big moments are still there. Big moments are a bit buggy in Live 14. They crashed a lot, if you might remember. But they are actually still there to play. Their server is still up and running.
That's pretty cool.
So, and if you go into the auction house, 15 and 16, and probably 18 as well, not as many people doing still selling stuff there, not as many people playing stuff. But again, still up and active, and that you can do it. So
that's pretty cool.
They have kept the servers up for a while, so I guess it may happen with 18 and 19 as well, I'm guessing, which means doing things like live events and live run is still going to be possible if you don't upgrade straight away. Speaking of which, you have been playing some live events and live run. I played 3-on-3 this year, and that was pretty fun, except again for getting the random opponent that threw the game because, well, why pass when you can drive and miss every time?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've had a case of that. It just gets annoying. I captured a video like where the person was just hogging it for a bit, and then they just airballed a three. I'm like, yeah, well, that was fun. You know, it's annoying when you get, because a lot of that mode is you get on the fast break as fast as you can, and you try and it's just the person won't pass it when you're well ahead of everyone else, and that window that you have to potentially throw down a really nice showtime dunk is essentially just thrown out a window. Doesn't make for a fun experience in that sort of sense. I'm getting there with it in terms of the 3-on-3 stuff. Like, I play it every now and then, and a lot has to come down with who you're playing with and all that stuff, and how much they want to share and how much teamwork they want to actually do on that. So I haven't progressed as far as that one, I say, as like court battles or the standard live events. I think I'm only about a level 6 on that, level 13, closing in on 14 for court battles. Want to get to 15 so I can unlock Pippin and Magic.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Those are a couple of good players to have.
Yeah. Who else is there? There's... level 15 or 16 for essentially the overall, I guess, playing for like the league and stuff like that. So I'm able to unlock quite a few things in terms of it's just the stuff for the core battles and that's the next thing I got to unlock. So yeah, I really want to get, but I don't know if I'll have enough time before, you know, the potential update, which will probably come like Tuesday or something, or Wednesday or something like that, when, you know, the new items become available on the store. And that's going by from what I remember has happened the last few weeks and things. So yeah, I want to try and get that to happen. So I'll probably have to do that 10 game to be able to do it properly in that. That might be what I do tomorrow, I guess.
Worth the shot. I think we need to jump on for some co-op games as well, because we haven't been doing that as much.
Yeah.
We haven't really done that this year either. And I do want to play that online, because I've had some okay games with randoms and some things have unlocked in live run or whatever, but yeah, we haven't played as much as we intended to do. And there's at least four of us have the game now. Yeah. Kenny's overseas, of course, as we record this. So
X has it. He was the winner of the giveaway.
That's right, and the winner, as we said, the winner of against me in the court battles. So yeah, we should tee that up as well and play a bit of that, especially. When 2K, well, you don't have 2K at this time, but when we want to take a break from 2K online, I think that'll be definitely a thing to do. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I've been playing, but you also were playing some league games as well?
Yeah, getting a little bit further into the season with that, I did request a trade from Charlotte to Miami and that, and had a few wins and I think about two losses in that sense. So I've got to try and get the wins back. But yeah, no, it's fine. It's just, I think pre-patch stuff was like a lot of turnover passes. It's getting a lot of the, I have to remember to constantly use the icon pass in those cases, just when it was getting pretty bad with the amount of turnovers. So, you know, when you're sort of playing late at night, your sort of brain's half sort of awake in that sort of sense.
Yeah,
so,
I've been there, yeah.
So yeah, that's one. But again, I want to try and play a few more games with the now with patch 1.14 in the league and sort of see if the theory is that looking like just pressing X will have a bit more intention of the pass of what you were trying to make instead of, you know, a pass that thinks you're trying to make and it's well off to gets picked off by someone, or it's just a totally just terrible pass in that. So yeah,
just not the right animation at all for that contextual situation.
It just passes it to someone that's right on the wing, or instead of someone that's cutting to the basket, that's like right got the right opportunity to score underneath. So I think if they balance that and improve that, that'll be a lot better instead of having to constantly icon pass because you're trying to remember which player is what button in that sort of sense.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
You know, it might take like half a second for the icon to show up, and then try and quickly see which, you know, especially if the guys are spread out, you know, trying to see which icon they are, it could potentially take, you know, another half second to a second, and there's that window gone. So, yeah, when you're just trying to adjust to that in that sort of sense. So I got to remember what position is what icon, I guess, is probably what I need to do. But yeah, just brain's not there at this stage in remembering. So,
and I'll play some more Ultimate Team and see how things are going, and also a bit of play now, some 5-on-5. Still want to do my full review of Live 19, a written review, and 2K19, especially now that all the big patches have been released. So that we'll be doing, and of course continuing to play my league and a bit of my career moving forward. So I'm enjoying both games this year, which is, you know, as I said in my Monday tip-off, it's just a matter of finding time to play and alternate between the two of them, basically, because sometimes you get really hooked on one mode, and then it's hard to really go between the two of them, and you want to spend time with both games. But, yeah, it's just a matter of juggling the time. But good problem to have, though, I suppose, at the end of the day.
Yep, that's true. Obviously, been only just playing the one game so far, and yeah, I've been enjoying it. Definitely putting in the hours into it and all that stuff. So, yeah.
That's the main thing. I mean, why play the games if you don't enjoy them? That's
true. To it.
I did want to touch very briefly, actually, on what I was going to say about the community, the online. We've talked before about the whole issue with having less than five, than needing the full five users per side. And it seems like a lot of people are on board with that, but there's also people pushing back. I'm seeing in the Reddit people saying things like, oh, well, if you want to play against the CPU, play My Career. I just want to address that asinine comment for a moment. It's not that people want to play against CPU players. It's that people want to get a game online, and it's hard to do because, again, people create guards and small forwards, guards and swingmen, so you don't have enough bigs to really get a game. And having an AI player there would actually help you get a game. It's not that you want to play against CPU. Of course, if you just want to play against CPU, you want to play My Career. It's having the option of having AI players there to actually get a game if you want to play it more casually, if you want to play it like a social comp. So don't come at me with that garbage. saw that and I just thought, oh, this 2K subreddit is absolutely toxic. I'm sorry, that may be one of the worst basketball gaming communities. And having played Fallout 76, yes, this is my Fallout mention of the week, it has been such a nice community, Ben. Like, everyone was so worried about griefing and how this was not going to be a good experience because again, Fallout is traditionally a single-player RPG. It has been such a friendly community. Many a true nerd, the YouTuber, was actually had set up a camp and was introducing people to the game and giving them free stuff because he'd been playing the beta and had built up a bunch of resources and was giving people like free weapons and things like that. So, and other people were just helping out. I was part of an event and I got critically injured, which is to say, if you don't get revived within 30 seconds, you get the death and respawn. Yeah. You have an option to call for help. I decided not to because I was just playing with randoms at the time, and I thought, oh, you know, they wouldn't do that. So I didn't bother to call, but someone actually ran over and revived me. You see something like that, and then you look at some of the things that goes on in the basketball gaming community, and you think, we could stand to be a lot better, to be honest.
Yeah.
And seeing that those comments in the Reddit, I'm like, and I guess it's throwing it all under the bus over just one particular conversation, one particular issue, but I saw that whole thing that went on, and those asinine comments, like, no, of course people want to play against the CPU, are going to be playing. My career, having the AIs has facilitated online games when you can't get all five players. Yeah. So I just think that's such an asinine remark, and it's the whole thing that people, you know, the way they play is the only right way to play, and this, and screw everybody else, and if it's not my problem, it's not a real problem, and I just think it's so toxic, and I think we could be doing so much better in the basketball gaming community. Seeing what other communities do and that they're not like that, yeah, I'm kind of disappointed in us, to be honest.
Yeah, I've sort of seen some reviews for Fallout, a lot of criticism is it's got to be a game where you've got to make your own fun in that sort of sense. And
yeah.
The fact that, you got a community that's actually helpful and not toxic is definitely would make the experience of what can be considered an empty game in a lot of ways, like, again, because a lot of content is not in there, like the traditional game. So
yeah, no NPCs, no,
yeah, you
know, a different kind of story.
Yeah,
it's basically based on online and things. Yeah, absolutely. But it has been fun so far, and the thing that has struck me is how friendly the community is, because having been part of the basketball game community and seeing how toxic it's kind of gotten, especially with this online element, and I don't want to throw all online players under the bus. I suppose I don't really want to throw the whole subreddit under the bus, but I've seen a lot of toxic stuff in there, a lot of gatekeeping, a lot of that shouting down perfectly reasonable opinions. That it's much like the Facebook group for 2K Playgrounds, NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, or the Playground series in general. Some of the comments there, it's just, yeah, I think we can do better, and I'm glad and proud of what we do in our part of the community with the NLC forum and everything, of the atmosphere that I think we cultivate, and why it is why I work so hard in moderating the forum to cultivate that atmosphere, because you look at some other places online and it is so toxic and it doesn't invite differing opinions or productive conversation, and I don't think that's what we should be about. So, well, if I have to avoid some of those other places and stick to the place where I know that people actually give a damn about a civil conversation, I guess we have a place, don't we?
Yeah, that's true.
That's the main thing. So that has brought us to the end of our week in basketball gaming, but not the end of the NLSC podcast, this episode or otherwise. We do have some NBA topics to talk about before we wrap up this week. And let's start off with a big performance, a big, big, big performance, a big moment, if you will, by Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Hornets. Scored 60 points, Ben, although it was tainted a little bit by Jimmy Butler's game-winning shot for the 76ers, his new team. Kemba scored 60, but not quite enough by three. If only he'd scored 64.
When I saw that, I was pretty happy because in terms of the points, because I got Kemba on my fantasy league team, so that was very beneficial for the stats that day. So thank you, Kemba. just a pretty crazy performance in terms of that. It's the highest scoring so far this year, isn't it?
That is a season high for 2018, yes. 2019 yep. season, I should say, yes.
That was definitely cool. Wondering if how many people... how much it could potentially be outdone by this year if we're going to see anyone score more and that. So, yeah.
I was just looking at some of the all-time scoring games because, of course, scoring 60 points in a loss is is tough, basically, because you've pretty much done all that you can do. And looking at his shooting percentage, just 21 of 34, 6 of 14 from 3, 12 of 12 from the free throw line. He did have 9 turnovers, I guess. That was maybe the negative on the night, 4 assists and 7 rebounds. But he is not the only player to score that much and lose. Of course, even the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan. Yes, I did say that, and it's the podcast, so no one's going to contradict me. I suppose you could, Ben, but I know you feel the same way. So, scored 64 points against the Magic, if you recall. Shaq and the Magic in 93 scored 64, but lost 128 to 124. The most points in a single loss, Ben, who do you think it is?
I kind of want to say Kobe. But I'm going to guess wrong and probably we'll guess again and say maybe someone like Kareem or something.
No, Kareem's never actually scored over 60.
Oh.
Not that I'm aware. I think he may have... he is not actually in the top... has not scored not scored 60 or more. Kemba Walker is now on that list, obviously, with the tied for the 57th most points.
Okay.
With various players who have scored 60 exactly. Interestingly, Michael Jordan has never scored 60 exactly. He scored 61, and he scored 63 and 64 and 69, of course, and had multiple 61-point games. But never actually scored 60 exactly. Larry Bird did.
Yeah.
Iverson did. Kobe Bryant has a couple as well. James Harden did earlier this year when he only scored the 60 points. But Klay Thompson, of course. But the player who has scored the most points, Wilt Chamberlain, 78 points in a 151-147 loss, December 8th, 1961.
Ooh!
And in fact, he also David Thompson, who scored 73, that was in a loss, 139-137. Wilt also 72-point game, lost 127-115. A 70-point game, 163 to 148. That was, of course, during the 60s that he got all those big scoring games. Yeah. Devin Booker, of course, scored 70 points, but he did that in the loss, 130 to 120. MJ, 64, was in the loss. Will Chamberlain, 65. So quite a lot of players have scored 60-plus in losses. So I guess you could say that they did their part, or maybe they didn't share the ball enough sometimes, as the case may be. But I did wonder when I saw that he scored 60 in the loss what it was. And yeah, that's Wilt, 78, which was until Kobe scored the 81 in 2006. Wilt, that was the second highest scoring game in the league, behind, of course, Wilt with 100, which wasn't a victory, 169-147 over the Knicks in March 2nd of 62.
How pissed would you have been if you did score the 100 and still lost?
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole thing. They were apparently force-feeding him towards the end of the game because the game was already decided, and certainly that's how that came to pass. But, yeah. So that is a tremendous game for Kemba Walker. Kind of an overlooked player, I guess, because of Charlotte not necessarily doing so well.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been the face of the franchise the last few years. I mean, there was speculation that they were looking at trading him last year. So
all-time leading scorer, isn't he now as well?
Yeah. Probably owns a few of the categories now in terms of things. So
that's also a franchise record, the 60 points.
Yeah. Kemba's, you know, definitely been a really good player in terms of, you know, the ability of sort of having that bit of street, but NBA skill and all that stuff. So it's good to see him still going really well. He's been around for a few years. I think he had one or two injury years, didn't he?
I early on. Say that he did miss some time, yes.
But it's good to see him. And he was an All-Star last year as well, wasn't he?
I believe so. I'm drawing a blank on that now. 17 and 18, yes. He was last two years he has been. No, he hasn't really missed any time. He's
okay.
62 games. He missed 20 games in 2015, which is his biggest miss, which is still significant, but not like a Derek Rose kind of situation.
Yeah. I knew he'd had probably not missed an entire season, but you know, missed a decent chunk of a season.
Otherwise, so. I mean, he played 66 games in his rookie season, but that was the lockout season. Yep. So 66 was 82 games, basically, then. That was every game. 73, 81, 79, 80. Yeah, he's been pretty durable, actually, apart from that 2015 when he missed the 20. But he's been a 20-point scorer the last few years, definitely turning into one of the better point guards in the NBA, and 60 points definitely puts him in pretty good company.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, LeBron James also has scored 60 points in a game before, 61 to be precise. He moved past Wilt Chamberlain for fifth on the all-time scoring list, so he's going to be passing Jordan by the end of this season, so Nick Wright is going to be really happy about that, I'm sure. I won't bother to watch that video, as I don't care to really hear what Nick Wright has to say about anything, to be honest, especially LeBron. But nevertheless, LeBron, if nothing else, shows how consistent he's been, that he's still playing at a high level in his 15th year. Of course, he did start at age 18. So most players who back in the day who got to their 15th, 16th year were much older by this point. But nevertheless, he is a machine. He continues to move up the list and has been incredibly consistent. We thought Kobe might get the all-time scoring list with his 20 years, but if LeBron sticks around that long, I certainly think he'll get all the records, perhaps.
Yeah, and if he doesn't have... Like, I mean, Kobe had... His last few years were tainted by injury and that.
Kobe would have got there if not for those injuries. So,
yeah.
Which LeBron has, fortunately for him, has been able to avoid so far. But I expect he will get those, as he got Jordan's playoff record win. And it should be noted, in considerably more games, you know, if it goes by average... Because a lot of the players back in the day, I think Tony Parker has more points than Larry Bird. So is Tony Parker better than Larry Bird? Jay's kids would probably say so, wouldn't they? But that's a whole other matter. Another player who scored 60 points, Ben, Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Scored 62 points before. And his name will actually come up with that 62-point game in another topic in a minute. But the reason I mentioned Carmelo Anthony, of course... a class of 2003 along with LeBron James, but he is a former Rocket, or there is in the process of becoming a former Rocket, that we thought that... How did we put it last week? We said that it was not a divorce yet, but certainly going to counselling.
The papers have been signed.
The papers have been delivered, yeah. Well, it certainly seems like that is the case now. 10 games with the Rockets, and that,
or at separation or something like that.
Yeah, well, 10 games, and that's happened now. It's the end of his Rockets career. The question is it the end of his NBA career too?
I mean, he can still perform to a degree. Like, he can still score well, but that's about it.
Mm.
And, you know, he isn't potentially like the best locker room guy or even like teammate to have, really. So we've seen how jealous he got with the whole Jeremy Lin situation, because, you know, he won the media spotlight on him. So it does seem to have to be about him in a lot of ways, which hurts, obviously, you know, the chemistry factor with teammates and that, and poisons the locker room in that sort of sense. I don't know if... I mean, teams will try and go for him. But again, you know, only lasting 10 games with the Rockets, you know, that's not a good sign.
I mean, this was his shot. The Knicks situation did not end up leaving him looking very good. I mean, he came into that team. Remember, Amare Stoudemire was gunning for the MVP that year, and they thought, oh, well, this is going to be a big duo for them and take on the Heat, because the Heat had just put together their big three with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch. Yep. But that didn't work out, and then the Knicks just basically went back to being much the way they've been for the last decade plus, sadly, for people like Jeff X in the forum. And then went to Oklahoma City last year when finally that divorce happened, when he got the new marriage.
That was about 67 games or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, he was there all season, but that didn't work out. Paul George stuck around. He did not. Got cut, and of course, via the trade to Atlanta, ended up in Houston. Yeah, you wonder what options he has. I'm just reading this article here that says Allen Iverson reckons that he shouldn't retire, that he should continue his career, that he's got a lot left in the tank. I think he does have something left in the tank, but when you've worn out your welcome in a couple of places, you still feel like you should be the star, but you're not able to produce like one anymore. It's going to be tough. And interestingly, there's the Puerto Rican national team has an open invitation, given them an open invitation to join them. He would actually be able to play with them if USA Basketball grants him a waiver to play for them.
Yeah,
it would be attainable. There's no actual indication that he wants to, but there is an open invitation for him to play for that team. It's hard to see. And I'm thinking of Stephon Marbury, who, again, funnily enough, also played for the Knicks, wore out his welcome. Interestingly enough, with Mike D'Antoni coaching.
Yeah.
And this is the same situation in
Houston.
In Houston, of course. So D'Antoni is 2 for 2 on getting problematic players out of the league, apparently. So I think, Eddie Curry ended up and won the title with the Heat. That's right. Pat Riley gave him that. So Tracy McGrady, on the other hand, has been openly encouraging him to retire. So there's different retired players saying different things. I think a lot of people do like to bag Melo, and there are a lot of criticisms that are certainly very valid, but I think a player of his stature, all players really, but certainly a player of his stature, deserves to go out on his own terms to some extent. So I do hope that he can latch on with a team and at least finish out the season. It would be nice for him to do. I think he has been too big of a star to just fade out like that, or just pack it up and go to China right now, which I suppose is another option there. I probably could average 50 points there. Seems everybody else goes over there and puts up ridiculous numbers. And hey, Stephon Marbury made a second career there and really enjoyed it. So it's...
Fredette, or whatever his name is.
Jimmy Fredette, yeah.
Yeah, he's tearing it up over there.
So it is an option. It's another place to play. Hey, it's good enough for the prelude in NBA 2K19, isn't it? So that is the other option, but it does feel like maybe his career is done. That is a possibility, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of takers. And yeah, I mean, does he go back to Denver and just have a bit of a farewell tour like Allen Iverson did with the 76ers? I don't think they necessarily would fit him in, or would
necessarily... I think again he'd kill the chemistry there, and given that Denver have been playing well this year, I don't think they want to ruin that chance.
So
not definitely not worth the gamble in that sort of sense. So
and it would be a shame, like I say, too big of a star to really go out with such a fizzle like that. Yeah. I mean,
I think maybe too, like the way he left there as well, he may have burned his bridges there.
I mean, that was a long time ago, but yeah, I don't think he's necessarily that popular, I suppose. Although, is anyone that he... I think they've had so much turnover in Denver, I don't think anyone's still there that's involved with that era, probably. So
he's, true.
So he does have a chance there, but we will see and see if he does continue his career, or whether it will be a situation like Stephon Marbury, where the NBA, there's just no room on the team anymore. And he's only 34. You know, he's only my age, and LeBron's age for that matter, although he's... game has not aged as well as LeBron's, obviously, but yeah, the class of 2003 starting to hang it up and getting towards the end of their careers, or certainly a couple of them anyway.
Yeah, Wade's at the end of the year, so that's confirmed.
So it's it only seems like yesterday, you know.
Yeah,
it's funny, not really related, but I was watching some old episodes of various YouTubers that I enjoy, and the other day, just killing some time watching those videos. And I looked at the upload date, and it said 2013. And I thought, man, it feels like it only happened a year. They only released this a couple of years ago, and that's 5 years. Like, some 2012 and 2013 videos, and I realized just how in the blink of an eye how half a decade has gone, basically. The last half a decade, but how quickly it's gone. And suddenly all these players who were still in their prime or up-and-coming stars are now all of a sudden at the end. It's and I think having us growing, you know, being born in the 80s and growing up and watching the NBA in the 90s, etc., we've seen maybe two, perhaps even three generations come and go. Maybe the tail end of the generations that came along in the late 70s, early 80s, and in the mid 80s, we've seen two or three generations come. It's time keeps marching on, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that there's only two players left that are active at the moment from, was it the 99 draft? Like, Vince and Dirk. Jason Terry would be, but I don't think he's active at the moment. So.
Yeah, that the 98 draft, the 99 season, of course.
Yeah.
Dirk and Vince Carter, yeah. Terry hasn't retired yet officially, but yeah, he's not actually on a roster at the moment.
Yeah.
So he was one of the last standing. Yeah, we certainly want to pick Vince Carter to be one of the last standing after some of the injuries that he had. Although it really was only a couple of years with Vince. It seems, again, like he was injured every year, but it was only those two seasons that he had a bit of a blip.
Yeah,
he's been fairly healthy. It's another one of those things that everyone knows but is not actually true. That Vince Carter's always injured, but yes, but only 2 years out of 21. There's been a couple of others where he's not played a whole lot of games, but in his prime, it was really only those 2 years. Everything else he was actually pretty durable. So
yeah,
one of those weird things. Anyway, we will see what happens with Carmelo Anthony. I mentioned the 62 points because it's brought up in this final piece that we're going to be talking about here is Donovan Mitchell, standout sophomore, of course, runner-up in Rookie of the Year, and that was controversial. We know that one of our friends says that the Rookie of the Year was not actually a rookie. Shout out to Valor. But Donovan Mitchell had an historical night, Ben. He scored, he had 35 shots, 31 for 31 points, which is not a greatly efficient game to begin with, but also zero assists.
Yeah.
So that was
31 points. Kobe would be proud of.
But 31 points on 35 shots. So as many as Utah's four other starters combined, along with zero assists. So not very efficient or team oriented there for a start. And this is not really like Donovan Mitchell either. The only 35 shot zero assist night in the last 20 years. Carmelo Anthony had 62 points against the Bobcats in 2014, although the Knicks did win that game. For the last such performance in a loss goes all the way back to January 1998. Antoine Walker had 49 points on 21 of 36 shooting in a loss to the Phoenix Suns. And there's been other 35 shot no assist games in NBA history. 22 of them belong to Wilt Chamberlain, so his name's coming up again in this piece historically. But no player had scored as few points as Mitchell on as many field goal attempts without an assist since Elvin Hayes went 28 of 40 went for 28 points on 40 shots rather in a 1969 San Diego Rockets loss to the Detroit Pistons. So very much it's historical, but not in the way that he really wants it to be, I guess. And he wasn't happy with it. His teammates were understanding because he is expected to take a lot of shots, obviously being such a dynamic scorer. But yeah, with all the everyone being so fascinated by stats these days, yeah, kind of an interesting point. And the thing that jumped out at me is we often talk about video game stats when NBA players have these really great games where they shoot 22 of 25 or something ridiculous, and we think, oh, that's a video game performance. This is also a video game performance, but a different kind of video game performance. Kind of like, do we bring it up again? A random player online that you team, a random team in online. That's the kind of video game performance this is. Zero assists and 35 shots.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of people in Live and 2K. Well, mainly 2K from the experience, but yeah, it was definitely one of those nights, and it was like, at some point, does he go, all right, maybe it's best I pass the ball.
Well, I mean, he does have the support of his teammates on this one. Our favorite, Joe Ingles, Jingles, that is, said we want him to be aggressive. We need him to be aggressive. I said it to him during one of the timeouts. If he feels good about the shot and it's a good shot within our offense, he needs to shoot it. If he's 1 for 20 or 20 for 20, it doesn't matter for us. He's our guy. So Rudy Gobert had similar sentiments, and he almost did win the game for them and gave the Jazz a lead late in the game. But unfortunately, I guess when you lose, winning sort of smooths over everything, doesn't it? You could dysfunction on the team, bad performance, bad shooting, whatever. If you win the game or win a championship, it kind of smooths everything over. But whenever you lose, it stands out so much more, unfortunately, for Donovan Mitchell in this case. But that's a night to remember, but not for the right reasons.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So that has brought us to the end of episode number 266 of the NLSC podcast. As always, we hope you enjoyed tuning in and listening to us talk about basketball video games, a little bit of real basketball as well. If you did, we encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes or any of the podcatching apps that we're on, including Stitcher. Just search for NLSC podcast. Look for our logo. That will be us. Or, of course, keep streaming it on the NLSC itself. As always, as long as you're tuning in and enjoying the show, that's what matters. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. We're on Instagram, too, NLSC Basketball, just to change up the branding. I did want to be the NLSC, Ben, but somebody else had got that one, apparently. So
the bastards.
So we couldn't do anything with that. That's NLSC Basketball on Instagram. And, of course, the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, is where to go for everything we do, the podcast, the articles, our modding community, everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that is all for this week. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And remember, you'd be surprised how effective a pump fake or two can be, so don't rush those inside shots.